I waited for at least 30 minutes and then pressed the spring in my turn. Everything happened as with Eric, but I was careful not to go through the hole myself, for I knew that Eric was inside. On the other hand, the idea that I might be caught by Eric suddenly made me think of the death of Joseph Bouquet. I did not wish to jeopardize the advantages of so great a discovery, which might be useful to many people, to a goodly number of the human race, in Eric's words, and I left the cellars of the opera after carefully replacing the stone. I continued to be greatly interested in the relations between Eric and Christine Daae, not from any morbid curiosity, but because of the terrible thought which obsessed my mind that Eric was capable of anything if he once discovered that he was not loved for his own sake as he imagined. I continued to wander very cautiously about the opera and soon learned the truth about the monster's dreary love affair. He filled Christine's mind through the terror with which he inspired her, but the dear child's heart belonged wholly to the Vicomte Raoul de Chagny. While they played about like an innocent engaged couple on the upper floors of the opera to avoid the monster, they little suspected that someone was watching over them. I was prepared to do anything, to kill the monster if necessary, and explain to the police afterward. But Eric did not show himself, and I felt none the more comfortable for that. I must explain my whole plan. I thought that the monster, being driven from his house by jealousy, would thus enable me to enter it, without danger, through the passage in the third cellar. It was important, for everybody's sake, that I should know exactly what was inside. One day, tired of waiting for an opportunity, I moved the stone and at once heard an astounding music. The monster was working at his Don Juan triumphant, with every door in his house wide open. I knew that this was the work of his life. I was careful not to stir, and remained prudently in my dark hole. He stopped playing for a moment and began walking about his place like a madman, and he said aloud at the top of his voice, "It must be finished first, quite finished." This speech was not calculated to reassure me, and when the music recommenced, I closed the stone very softly. On the day of the abduction of Christine Daae, I did not come to the theater until rather late in the evening, trembling lest I should hear bad news. I had spent a horrible day, for after reading in a morning paper the announcement of a forthcoming marriage between Christine and the Vicomte Chagny, I wondered whether, after all, I should not do better to denounce the monster. But reason returned to me, and I was persuaded that this action could only precipitate a possible catastrophe. When my cab set me down before the opera, I was really almost astonished to see it still standing. But I am something of a fatalist, like all good Orientals, and I entered ready for anything. Christine Daae's abduction in the prison act, which naturally surprised everybody, found me prepared. I was quite certain that she had been juggled away by Eric, that prince of conjurers. And I thought positively that this was the end of Christine, and perhaps of everybody, so much so that I thought of advising all these people who were staying on at the theater to make good their escape. I felt, however, that they would be sure to look upon me as mad, and I refrained.